If they can get away with it, they do it. So what do we do about that? How do we, the people, start disarming the state? That's part of these conversations, upcoming conversations. Now, I know that the military believes that it uses these weapons appropriately, responsibly even, to protect us from the enemies of the state, quote unquote. And while I know they believe they're doing what's best for the state, they aren't asking. Are we asking, am I doing what's best for humanity? Because we weren't given this life to protect states. We were given it to protect life. And the entrenched institutions of class, of which states are one, until we reverse them, are the opposite of life. So I want to thank Mr. Tiekert for hosting this interview, and of course, Mr. Moskowitz for his courage. Because it takes courage to call our attention to the use of wave radiation as a weapon. I've heard in the past, this is why I know about it, you know, that there's dangers associated with the pulsing of the frequencies that they use for cell phones. I even heard one gentleman at UC Berkeley, he was arguing that there was absolutely no need for them to have picked a frequency that damaged us, that hurt us, that there were others that were harmless. And so when Mr. Moskowitz says that the best we can do is, you know, try to regulate better, I dispute that. I believe not only do we have to reclaim our lives and the resources of the state that the state has proprietarily claimed for itself, but that we have to start designing, redesigning our world. Of course, we were not suggesting the end to wireless energy. We're suggesting wireless energy that doesn't kill us, ultimately. You know, just how about a world where we talk about, you know, I mean, the state talks about, you know, it's trying to keep us safe. We know that's not true. It's the exact opposite. Only we can keep ourselves safe by joining hands together as free human beings. We don't want our freedom placed with the keeper, as Mr. Shakespeare said. Because the reality is, because this is reality. And I want to mention, thanks to Mr. Moskowitz for representing for all life, for saying that it's not just us being damaged by this radiation, but other species and plants too. We have to represent for the all. And hopefully we care enough about our own lives that, you know, I mean, that's sufficient motivation right there. But I'm not seeing the evidence of it, but then we don't have our own public conversations, our own airwaves, do we? So it's real hard to know what the general mood and consensus is about this. You know, whether if we just given the opportunity to start these conversations publicly, we could finally say what we're all feeling, which is that we don't want to put our children's lives and health at risk or our own, but that we have been forced against our will to accept an insecure existence. By power making scarce the means for building confidence, assurance, grit, to resist the pressure of power's unrelenting certainty that they know what's best. That's hard for us to challenge until we develop our own certainty. But we don't have that yet because of class. Class is what does this, keeps our eyes focused on a narrow frame, keeps us fearful that we dare not hope for more than what we're given, fearful that we cannot claim our bigness, that to try will bring down punishment upon us. Only if we stand alone, we have to help each other, come on. And by what we're given, I mean our designated slice of narrowed existence, our particular assignments, within which we're both allowed and encouraged to do those cleanup exercises, improve conditions for power, make things fairer, etc. But we must never lift our eyes above it and question the overall terms, the notion of disbursement itself. Power's sense of appropriate aesthetics is upset when anyone not designated, serious, attempts to be big, to widen his vision, to encompass the all of it, to take responsibility for that vast incipiency brewing beyond her so-called station.